Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. You're going to be glad you hung out with us a little longer because Pamela Harper is with us. Pam is nationally known consultant and speaker, the founder and the president of Business Advancement Incorporated, and she's helped companies transform their business strategies all over the world, and she's the author of Preventing Strategic Gridlock. And more importantly, she's our good friend. Pam, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. It's a pleasure to be back.
It's good to have you back, as always. You know, I have a friend who's written a book called Why Don't You Want What I Want? I love that title, don't you?
I think that's a fabulous title.
And that's Rick Maurer who wrote that book. But I love that title, and that's kind of what you want to talk about today, I think.
Absolutely.
Is what happens when we have this wonderful idea? How could anybody not like this outstanding idea? And it could be that, but it also could be, as I said before you got here in the earlier part of the hour, Pam. I said it might just be that you're trying to manage the change that's been presented to you by the marketplace. It might not be your initiative. It might be just trying to manage your business with change, or manage change, I should say. What do you think?
That's right. And I think that one of the things that's also happening is, especially towards the end of the year, people get everything that people are trying to do, all the goals that are trying to be accomplished, kind of rev up even more. It's almost like towards the end of a game, you know, where everybody's trying to score the points. And so there's that much more potential for resistance because everybody's trying to move forward very quickly. And we all have different objectives, and the key is to figure out how you're going to move forward, even though others, and I call them stakeholders, could be resisting your plans.
I like the use of the word stakeholders. I use that myself. And to some people, stakeholder is jargon. It's a little bit of jargon, but I do think it's important to use that term, and I've been using it more and more myself, because stakeholder is beyond owner and employee, isn't it?
That's right. It's anybody who has a stake in your business. So it could be, of course, employees, but customers, suppliers,
right,
outsource
vendors,
providers, anybody, the media even. Anybody who has a stake in the success of your business is somebody you need to be aware of.
And those, and you know, that's, and see, that's such an important thing. The reason why I think it's important to think about stakeholders is because I had this conversation last week with a group of people I spoke to in New York City, and we were talking about the way the marketplace is changing these days. And the thing I pointed out was that more and more of us are, instead of hiring employees to do certain tasks, we're engaging contractors to do
a lot
of these things.
That's
and
right.
So 20 years ago, if I had 20 tasks to do, then I had 20 employees or 15 employees who were doing those tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Today, if I have 20 tasks, I may have 5 employees, and I'm outsourcing the other 15 tasks.
That's right. And in fact, that's how even the smallest business, a gang of one, can be a huge global business by enlisting other people, whether it's suppliers or contractors or people that you form alliances with. It's a very common way to be big while being small.
Well, my organization, our core employee group is pretty small, but we probably make payroll during the year for people who make a direct contribution to our business for maybe 30 people.
Mm-hmm. That's right, and that's the wonderful part. Everything we're talking about right now is all the upside. But here's the challenge. The larger your organization becomes, especially when these stakeholders, these people who are not your employees, are part of your organization, they have their own objectives, their own goals, other things are going on, and you still have to deal with how are we going to pull together to get done what I want to get done. And so what I found is that it's important to look at how do you overcome resistance, and I found that there are three steps.
Well, and I want you to give us those three steps when we come back after these messages. We're going to take a quick break, folks, in a few seconds. Pam is going to have some of these three steps to tell us about. I'm going to have some comments. You won't be surprised to know about that. She's the author of Preventing Strategic Gridlock, Pamela S. Harper. Tony Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Hey, Jim, and all the gang at the Small Business Advocate Show. It's Wilma Goldstein from the SBA. Congratulations on your 10th anniversary, and may you have 10 more. 10 years. 10 years.
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're rocking and rolling with our good friend Pamela S. Harper. That's the name on the book, Preventing Strategic Gridlock. Pam, give us your website and tell us how we can find your book.
Yes, it's businessadvance.com, and when you get on there, you'll see information about preventing strategic gridlock, as well as information about the Harper Report, which is the newsletter where you can find out more information about the conversation we're having today.
All right. Is that Harper Report free?
Yes, it is. It's a
We like free things here.
Free. It's absolutely free. It's a monthly newsletter.
See what I did for you, folks? See what I got you? I get you free stuff all the time. Pam, you were going to give us... Folks, we're talking about how to get our stakeholders to stop resisting. Now, before you get into your three points, Pam, and I hope I'm not preempting you here, but sometimes resistance is good, isn't it? Because we don't have always have the best answers.
Well, there's
productive resistance, and then there's negative resistance. We got to define that, right?
We do, but you know, actually, the title of the newsletter that I have is "Find Unexpected Opportunities by Embracing Stakeholder Resistance." So, going right along, you read my mind, Jim. And I do think that a lot of times what happens is we think of resistance as bad, but when you actually uncover what's behind it, you can find new opportunities. So I think you can almost always turn any kind of resistance into something that's going to help you move forward. I really believe that.
Well, if at least it gives you an opportunity to... One thing I found is if somebody resists you who's a stakeholder, at least it means that they become a little invested in what's going on.
Well, that could be true. There are a lot of reasons for it, but I think that the most important thing that you have to do with resistance is to recognize it, and that is tough to do because not everybody is right out there with their resistance.
Sometimes is it a little passive aggressiveness? Is that what you're talking
about? Yes, it's indirect. In fact, think about the person who's always too busy to live up to their commitment.
Yeah.
And they're usually apologetic. There's no apparent conflict. And when I help companies, I find that that's where they get blindsided because they say, we don't have conflicts. But guess what? When you start talking to people, you find out, oh, that one's too busy. Or, yes, well, they'll do it. I call it lip service sometimes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people do. Mm-hmm. And if you can recognize all the signs of resistance, the indirect as well as the most obvious ones, that's the first step.
It's not a good thing to. It's not a good thing to never say no.
Sometimes you have to say no, and that's where the second step comes in, and that is to understand and identify the issues behind what you're observing. So there can be very legitimate reasons why somebody is saying no, and that's what you have to figure out. One possibility is it could be a capability issue. I believe I heard from your previous segment that that's some of the issues of skills. Mm-hmm. There may be insufficient staffing, knowledge, skill, ability. If somebody can't do it, If they can't do it, there's a good reason why sometimes.
Maybe they haven't been trained. You mentioned the skill, but it could be that you haven't given them what they need.
Or they don't have enough information. Maybe you thought you gave them information, and they don't have it. And so you get locked into a battle of, I thought you told me, no, you didn't tell me. Mm-hmm. And so those are kinds of capability issues. But there's also the issue of willingness. So that even if people are capable of doing what you want them to do, they have to want to do it. And the challenge there is remembering that different individuals and groups can have many motivations for doing the same thing. So it's important not only to make sure that there's capability, but willingness.
Let me stop you for a second, Pam, because sometimes small business owners get the idea that when somebody who works with us knows what we know. You know, I've had... You know, have you ever accused your husband of expecting you to read his mind?
Well, that often happens, unfortunately, in the best
I've had that to happen to me before, and I don't understand why that would happen, but I have had that to happen. Sometimes business owners expect our employees to telepathically be able to just know all the things that we know.
That's right.
And to perform the way we would perform, because if they're here, if they work for us, they must know what we know. And that's a mistake, isn't it?
Well, that's right. You can't assume that somebody understands things the way that you do, and that is a common issue with small business owners, where a lot of things are held in your head. And it isn't just employees. I want to point out that when we're talking about stakeholders, suppliers get caught up with this, contractors.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes especially difficult when you're not seeing somebody every day, and you think, don't they understand that I need this this service or this product?
Well, they put us into a profile, and they think we're like all these other 50 people,
uh-huh.
and we might have some unique requirements that we'd like to have.
That's right. That's right. So uncovering the assumptions, you know, the things such as what needs to be done, who will do it, where will it be done, when is it done, how is it done, these are all the kinds of assumptions that we have to really step back and say, it's not necessarily a fact. These could be assumptions that we're making about each
right.
other.
And Pam, we're going to go to a break. We've covered two of these, right? Two of the three?
That's right. There's one more.
Give us the first one again. Repeat it.
The first one is to recognize all the signs of resistance, indirect and direct, and then the issues.
All right. What are the signs of resistance? What are the issues? We're going to talk about the third one right after these messages. It's 10 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. We're visiting with our good friend Pamela S. Harper. That's the name of the book, Preventing Strategic Gridlock. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You ask the right questions, provide great insights, and have a true passion for small business. How much do I get paid for saying all of this again?
Mr. Richard Pennyman, ladies and gentlemen, otherwise known as, not the first guy, the second guy. That was Ray Keating first. This is Little Richard, still rocking after all these years. And we're still rocking with our good friend Pam Harper, Pamela S. Harper, the author of Preventing Strategic Gridlock. I'll get it out in a minute. It's really not that hard to say, folks. I don't know what's wrong with me. And don't forget to check out my websites, folks, at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check out the newsletter, the blog, the articles, the archives of past shows, thousands of each one of those. You can podcast them, by the way. We allow you to, you can stream them by MP3 or podcast, or subscribe by RSS. Lots of capability there. So check that out. And don't forget our knowledge base, askjim.biz. That's smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. And all of them, both of them, have no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you hang out with us and use our stuff. Pam, give us your website one more time quickly, please.
It's businessadvance.com, and the Harper Report is right on there, and Preventing Strategic Gridlock is as well.
And we appreciate you making that newsletter available for free. Pam, we first have to identify that there is resistance. Is that right?
That's right. The first step is to make sure that you are seeing all the signs of resistance.
And that you're not blowing over it. You're not just disregarding it. Make sure you've sort of inventoried the resistance.
That's
would that
right.
be a good
and
way to think of it?
That's right. I guess you could say it that way, and also to make sure that you are thinking about all the places where you need to be looking, all the people, so not mm-hmm. just employees, but suppliers, contractors, even legislators.
Your banker, for sure is a stakeholder.
Your accountant, your attorney.
So then the second one is the issues. What are the issues?
What are the issues? And there are two general categories. One is the capability. Could it be that people don't have enough information or knowledge or skill or ability, conflicting priorities? The other is, do people want to do this? Is it against the grain, their grain for some reason, or is there something that's going on that you need to work out? So understanding
And the third one is?
Well, the third step, then, is once you've identified what these issues are, is to negotiate a resolution that combines the most important elements of what you need with the most important elements of what your stakeholder needs, so that you may not be able to get everything you want, but you can get the key things that you want, and they can get the key things that they want. For instance, I worked with one company where the CEO was so frustrated because he felt that his employees, it was a small company, he felt his employees were whiners. They couldn't get what he was saying. And what was happening in this case is, as we uncovered it, there were a lot of fundamental miscommunications and misunderstandings about what each side wanted. And so when they uncovered that and they said, you know what, I don't need you to do this every day. I need you to do this only some of the time. They could begin to work together more productively.
Very interesting. You know, you use two terms that we use three words that I want to come back to. First, you said negotiate.
Negotiate.
So number three, so folks, when you're trying to prevent strategic gridlock, you need to be prepared to negotiate, right, Pam?
Well, that's true. You can't mandate your way through a conflict. In other words, if you take a firm side and you're not willing to flex, you're never going to get through it.
Which brings me to the other two words that you used, and these are two words that I use all the time. That's need and want.
What you
need are more intrinsic. They're more essential to you. What you want is like a little gravy on the top. So don't we need to find out what we all need and get that done and then negotiate what we want?
Well, that's true. You know the Rolling Stones song, you can't always get what you want, but if you try some time, you get what you need.
Right.
One of my favorite quotes.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's much like that. You have to be thinking about prioritizing what is it you truly need versus what is it that would be nice to have and separating it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. And anytime our negotiating experts have told us that when you go into a negotiation, you need to go in knowing what you want. I mean, what you must have,
mm-hmm.
and then if you don't get that, you walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And
That's right. And sometimes, Jim, sometimes the fact is that you can't always come up with a happy ending in the sense of everybody's happy, in which case you can still move forward by saying, what is it that I truly need?
Mm-hmm.
And you come up with a new way to get it.
And sometimes you have to part company with your stakeholders.
That's right.
Hey,
but
Pam, thanks for being here. Good job today,
pleasure.
As always. It's always
Jim,
a pleasure.
Again, congratulations with 10 years.
Thank you very much. Pam Harper, ladies and gentlemen, Pamela S. Harper, Preventing Strategic Gridlock is the title of her book, available wherever books are sold. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that this program is still for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.